This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Syngenta, delivering better food for a better world through outstanding crop solutions.
Well, call it a case of squatters' rights, call it the cream rising to the top, heck, call it a case of Chip being out of the office to appear on a wildly popular TV show. I've got more papers on my desk than Cheech and Chong right now, thanks to USDA reports. But I'm not alone. Today I'll be talking with Dan Huber from the Huber Report. We'll find out if anything stuck out to Dan in today's reports and then widen our view to talk China, Brazil, and whatever. Oh, and yeah, I guess it is Friday. Seems like there was something going on with propane. JK, everybody, I've got some stuff on that and this week's fertilizer prices in the fourth segment. You are tuned to AgriTalk. I'm your handsome guest host, Davis Michelson. Thanks for tuning to AgriTalk, everybody. Yes, I will play my own walkout music because somebody's got to do it. I'm boogieing in my chair right now. That's why I'm on radio, not TV, the tendency to boogie. Well, Friday, big report day from USDA. And while the market moves were not enormous or even necessarily all that surprising, the markets did move. However, if you tuned in yesterday and heard me talking with Todd Bubba Horowitz, we discussed his comments from Wednesday, in which he said something to the effect of, I don't care which market you're looking at, and he was referring mostly to the ag markets, the commodities and whatnot. He said, I don't care which market you're looking at, it's go nowhere, nobody's watching, and nobody cares, low volume. We had speculated that maybe today's reports would have done something. And, let me just run these down really quick. I'm going to have to switch screens. Here we go. Corn futures up about two and a half cents, 2.75 in the March. Soybeans a nickel lower in most contracts, a little closer to unchanged in the back month contracts. Meal was lower. Oil was higher. Wheat futures, here you go. You've got your soft red. You've got your KC, both lower, down a couple of cents. And spring wheat futures were just fractionally lower. We look clear out to July 20 before we see anything that isn't lower, and that's unchanged at 554.5. Big whoop there. Live cattle headed higher today. Not a whole lot. Same deal with feeder cattle. And the lean hogs did exactly the same thing they did yesterday. Lower in the front month contracts, higher in the back month contracts. As I said, you are tuned to AgriTalk. Your pal Davis Michelson behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk. Thank you, Chip, for giving me the opportunity to be here. And thank you, beloved listener, for tuning in. Dan Huber from the Huber Report is going to march around the world with us. It's going to be great. We will see if anything stuck out in those reports to him. In fact, I'll probably ask him something that sounds exactly like that when we get to him. But he's got a big trip coming up. He's ready to talk China. He's ready to go. I see we've got him in the chamber there. So I'm going to hop over to today's news. Like I said, a lot of papers around today. There we go. Here we go. Wheat futures were mostly lower on today's close, although deferred spring wheat contracts found some light price support. Earlier today, December SRW futures tapped a fresh weekly low at 507.5. That's after failing to hold above the 20-day moving average. Now, remember, listeners, we've been watching that $5 level in the December SRW futures. Tapped a fresh weekly low at 507, like I said, failed to hold above the 20-day moving average, but still did manage to squeak out a close above that $5 level. So at least technically we're not in terrible shape there on the soft red futures. Heavy rains in Europe disrupting planting activity, including winter wheat and barley. That limited pressure on the wheat complex today. But despite a cut to overall U.S. wheat supplies, reduced domestic use, and lower stocks, winter wheat futures were unable to post a positive close. USDA pegged the season average farm price on wheat off a dime at $4.60. December hard red futures were 3.25 cents lower at 421.5. December soft red futures fell 2.25 to 510.25. December spring wheat was 1.25 cents lower at 517.5. And I'm afraid no matter what we take away from today's reports, to me, it just looks like there's a little bit too much wheat still in the world. Yes, here we are. USDA raised global wheat carryover slightly from October's numbers. So while the U.S. enjoyed a slight decline in the production forecast for wheat, Global numbers are just a little bit higher. Bigger crops coming out of Russia, Ukraine, that whole Black Sea region there, and Europe as well. Although, as I said, maybe some planting problems beginning to emerge in Europe due to wet weather. On the corn side, corn futures have sunk to prices last seen on September 30, which fell right ahead of USDA's surprise reduction in its quarterly inventory report that year. Today, funds were expecting corn production cuts delivered by USDA would offset reduced exports and corn use for ethanol. With the charts suffering from recent losses, this morning's reduced production, use, and ending stocks forecasts help buoy prices immediately following the report. USDA cut 1.4 bushels per acre off its national average corn yield projection, now at 167 bushels per acre. The agency left harvested acreage unchanged at 81.815 million acres. Futures fell back from those initial gains, but did manage to close on the plus side of unchanged. December corn futures gained 2 cents to 377 and a quarter. March corn firmed 2¾ cents to 386 and a half. May corn closed at 393 and a half, up 2½ cents on the day. Reports or no, it is good to see a positive close in corn here. Maybe we can stop the bleeding. It'll be interesting to see how we open next week. Soybean futures were under pressure leading up to the reports. This as uncertainty continues to reign in negotiations with China. While China has it that both sides are willing to roll back existing tariffs, the Trump administration says the rollback is on threatened tariffs and would not impact tariffs already in place. Traders had been looking for a cut to the national average soybean yield in today's reports, but the agency left both the yield and harvested acreage pegs unchanged for a yield at 46.9 bushels per acre and harvested acreage at 75.626 million acres. That's unchanged from October. Most contracts softened around a nickel today. Novi bean futures were 5½ cents lower, 919 and a half. January beans also slipped 5½ to 931 even. March beans closed at 944 even, down 4¾ today. As I'm talking to Dan Huber, we'll turn our attention to Brazil and to China and to the trade relationship there, how the U.S. figures into it, what does soybean acreage do for it, and what is Brazil going to do to capitalize on that perhaps excited demand coming from China. Live cattle futures opened slightly higher in today's session, which was taken as an opportunity for fund managers to liquidate some long positions. Still, boxed beef values continued to march higher, adding support to futures. December cattle were 25 cents higher at 119.25. February cattle futures gained 17½ cents to 125.02½. Novi feeders firmed 22½ to 147 on the nose. Interesting note, on the front month December live cattle futures contract, Wednesday and Thursday, both days closed even, right on the nose, 119. Today we're up a quarter. I asked Todd Bubba Horowitz yesterday if there's something magical about the number, and he talked about the art that traders look for when they're looking at some of these charts. And sometimes when you're thinking about art, you're thinking about nice, even, round numbers. And here we are, 25 cents above that level today. Lean hog futures basically logged the same price action from yesterday in today's session. Slightly lower in the lead contract, back month contracts firm, soft cash market, lower wholesale prices kept a wet blanket over the market. During the first 4 days of the week, slaughter numbers had already surged 70,000 head above the same week last year. December hogs 17½ lower, 64.12½. February lean hogs added 12½ to 73.90. I'm your pal, Davis Michelson. Thank you for tuning in to AgriTalk. I've got Dan Huber coming up right on the other side of this very short intermission.
...2019 marks 40 years of Syngenta and its legacy company's work in seed treatment research and innovation. Ross Weichel, head of Syngenta Seed Care in North America, says a commitment to a robust pipeline is key to success for their customers. Ross joins us now. Hello, Ross. Tell me a little bit about that commitment to developing new solutions.
We've become one of the best innovators in the industry because of the resources we invest to keep our R&D engine humming. On average, we spend over 10 years and nearly $280 million to develop novel seed treatment molecules. Our current new product lineup and pipeline are truly tremendous.
Thanks, Ross. We'll hear more from Ross next week, but for more stories from Syngenta, head over to www.syngentathrive.com.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. Dalaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. Dalaro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. Dalaro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910. 800-626-4910.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has four powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo EZ nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
This just in from the front lines of the fight against tough weeds in soybean fields. Growers have taken the next step with the ultimate secret weapon. Fierce brand herbicides from Valent USA. These pre-emergence herbicides protect soybean fields with multiple effective modes of action, residual control that lasts up to 8 weeks, and fierce resistance management to help you win the battle against resistant weeds and the war. Ask your retailer or visit valent.com/fierce to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions.
Get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards.
Happy Friday, everybody. Davis Michelson, your pal behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk. Glad you joined us today. Glad to have you along. It is a USDA report day today, and I've got Dan Huber standing by. Before we get to Dan, I just want to tease the final segment. In case you missed this morning's AgriTalk, it was our Friday free-for-all, but our first segment was dedicated to a conversation with Iowa farmer Tim Barak. He had some very important information and some very important words about the propane crunch that's going on, and it blows hard. I understand, folks. It doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of relief, if any, in sight. Local governments, state governments are doing what they can to try and get propane diverted into the Midwest. We'll have Tim Barak in his own words from this morning's show in the final segment. Now, let me bring in Dan Huber from the Huber Report. Dan, thank you for being with us today on AgriTalk, buddy.
Certainly, my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Dan, I'm unclear. Where are you calling in from? Where are you located right now?
You know, right now, actually, I'm in the major town of Creston, Illinois.
Okay.
So, which, you know, if you're not familiar with, that's 5 miles east of Rochelle, Illinois, and 10 miles west of DeKalb, Illinois. But it's where my family's feed manufacturing operation is. So.
Oh, terrific, terrific. What are current conditions like there? How's the soil? Is it? I mean, it must be cold.
You know, yeah, cold. You know, certainly turned cold the last 2 days here, but that's really some of the final, first, you know, real chilly temperatures we've seen. The harvest is, you know, great week moving ahead. I mean, we're like everyone else, quite delayed. I would guess we're probably 50% done, corn and beans both. Of course, you know, certainly a month later than we should be here at this point in time. But, it, you know, as expected, yields of, you know, the earliest planted corn was okay. You know, certainly not last year's yields or the year before yields. The later planted corn, probably some of the biggest issues there, have even, surprisingly, it matured as well as it did, but light test weights, as they, as you know, particularly with the higher moisture corn, improves after it's been dried. So, but that said, you know, yields are you know, easily 10-20% under a year ago. Soybean yields, I haven't heard as many estimates as I would expect, but generally disappointing. You know, certainly not the kind of yields that we've grown accustomed to over the last 3 to 4 years.
So. Right, right. I had a listener texting me this morning. He was talking about his yields, and you know, sample of one. But he's in northern Missouri and has noticed a pretty significant yield reduction in his soybeans. So it's just there's some thin spots that are kind of wrecking the curve on the whole deal for him.
Yeah. Although I'd even, you know, early on, you know, some of the downstaters, you know, had taken out some of the very earliest planted beans, you know, 65, you know, which is certainly nothing to get terribly excited about anymore. But boy, once they got the later planted beans, there was a lot of 45 and 50 bushel beans.
All right.
So you know, certain nothing you want to be throwing a party over by any stretch.
Right. Right. We'll take what we can get, I guess, this year's type of deal.
Yes.
I've found in this area, and we got to get to the reports just real quick, but I found in my backyard here anyway, it seems like, and I don't know, I'm just speculating, but it seems like there was a rush rather than to get the corn out of the field, to get onto that bean stubble and to get some anhydrous knifed in while they still can before the ground sets up too hard. Are you seeing any of that over there?
Not really. You know, in fact, I have not seen a single anhydrous tank out here at this point in time.
Is that right?
And granted, we were very wet last week. I mean, we didn't really hardly turn a wheel at that time. So, and we barely, like you say. I mean, I think a lot of guys went to the corn first. They knew they could kind of get at it.
Yeah.
Beans have been kind of left behind now. Like the last 2 to 3 days, certainly looks like a lot of guys have switched back over to the beans yet. But like I say, I have not seen a single rig out there with anhydrous.
Very good. Well, Dan Huber from the Huber Report, my guest today on AgriTalk. Let's I don't know how much time you feel like we need to spend on this report here. What are your thoughts generally here?
Well, you know, I guess I don't feel enlightened, you know, terribly. You know, it's not that there weren't some revisions, but, you know, I kind of made a joke here this morning in the morning newsletter that, you know, we seem to look forward to these releases by the USDA like it's some oracle delivering something down from the temple that we're all supposed to kind of bow down. And you know, fault the markets, too. You know, we put so much emphasis on this coming in month after month, and, you know, you've got all these algorithmic traders are ready to, you know, move to the, you know, is it positive, is it negative, and move that way. You know, anyway, we kind of lose perspective that they're nothing but estimates. And, you know, in a year like this especially, they are, you know, probably wildly inaccurate estimates because of just all the unusual conditions this year. So, you know, at least this one was treated with a little more of a grain of salt. You know, thankfully, the corn market, you know, really didn't get any positive news per se. Yes, they took yield down. They didn't mess around with the acreage, which I guess I kind of thought they would. Ending stocks were dropped just insignificant amounts. World stocks were down a little bit better. But, you know, the corn market, it just needed something to kind of break the psychology. You know, the bears have been in control here for 6 weeks. And, you know, just looking at it, I mean, not that that says we're going to accelerate to the upside, but I think that we were able to respond higher. Broke 6 weeks in a row of lower weekly closes and came back and closed higher for the week. You know, I think that probably says enough's enough. Not that we don't have to. We're going to need to find something in addition to this to lift us out of these areas. But I think it at least is a good signal that, you know, we're at a value point. There's no sense taking prices lower. We just need an excuse to come back higher.
Right, right. I think at one point, and I didn't watch it all that closely on a, you know, tick-by-tick basis, but it seems like corn was up around 6 cents at one point. That's the one that sticks in my head, and we wind up with 2 cents higher, basically, on the day.
Right. And gave up a little bit on the spreads, you know. So it's right. We're still, like I say, we're still in the middle of harvest. Yes, we'll be over 50% this week, but that said, it's that there's still potential for some bushels to move in. Although the river system has certainly been starved for any kind of, you know, not only the river system, the ethanol plants, you name it, have had a difficult time attracting corn this year. So that should be the next supportive factor in there. But all that said, it's nice to see us at least turn around and put in a higher week finally.
Yeah, it does feel good. On the soybean side, I'm looking at production, yield, harvested acres, all unchanged from the October forecasts. Is that telling us something?
And granted, I mean, beans theoretically were about 75% harvested when these numbers were taken. So, I mean, individuals should have had just a little better idea of what was out there. That said, I guess so many beans go into bins at home. I think this is just going to be a situation that, until we start to see them come back out, really get a weight on what happened out there, you know, we're not going to have that great of a handle. So, we don't want to lose track of the side as well that bean numbers were reduced last month more than anybody expected. So, maybe this
Good
is
point.
Just balancing that out just a touch at this time. So, the thing about the beans this week, we have a deal with China coming, and we don't have a deal with China coming, so it
right.
That just keeps whipping them back and forth. I kind of tend to think beans have got a little defensive pressure in front of them, but here again, like corn, I just don't see where there's a lot of downside. And yes, we're probably, exactly when and where and who signs it and what times it, what we're going to move on this next deal. But I think that's certainly enough yet to keep the bears from trying to take control. And we know funds have already turned to the long side of the bean market here. So, it's going to take more than that, I think, to shake them out of here.
Okay. Anecdotally, I was talking with a colleague this morning, we got to talking about how a rise in cynicism directed toward USDA kind of correlates with farmers' attitudes. Seems like farmers I don't want to make a blanket statement. There are those farmers who are pretty unhappy with the way USDA has handled everything in 2019.
Oh, sure.
But these are the numbers we have, right? I mean, there's also always the possibility of a correction in the future, and you did just kind of reference that, which made me think of it. What do corrections down the road do for USDA's credibility? Do you feel like people look at those and say, they're writing their books? Or is it just taken as, that just means they were wrong to begin with?
I guess it's all in the in those who hear it. I mean, some people are always going to be disgruntled just because of some of the what seemed to be discrepancies this year. I guess it's pretty easy to throw criticism at them, and not that it isn't justified in some cases. I mean, I think so much of what they put out this year should have been prefaced by, this is an unusual year with the data we have. In essence, stating that we know this is going to be wildly variable this year, don't take this as the gospel truth.
Right.
So, I mean, there's where I kind of come back to the trade and fault the trade. Use some common sense. I mean, just because the report says that, if everybody in the room, every commercial, everybody in the industry who has people with boots on the ground are expecting this yield and the USDA comes up with something significantly different, chances are you've got to weigh your opinion a little bit more to the private industry, and they don't. Right. I mean, they just, the USDA said this, and like I say, you've got all these algorithmic traders, and it's negative, so we just have to sell. And, so I think there's some blame to go around for everybody. I want to tend to say the USDA, yes, learns from its mistakes. Will
coming up on it here.
Try to make those kind of corrections in the future. So but the same token, if they...
Lost.
Pivot BioProven is the first ever nitrogen-producing microbe that supplies nitrogen directly to the plant, helping maximize yield. Just ask Zach from Oklahoma.
The average was about a 5 to 6 bushel an acre benefit. Not only is that more money in my pocket, but it's less money I had to spend on fertilizer and wear and tear on my side dressing sprayer.
Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for. The nitrogen that stays put, whether or not.
5 conferences, 1 location, something for your entire team. Get ready. The 2020 Top Producer Summit is set for January 27th through the 30th in Chicago. This year's summit is a combination of the five highly regarded top producer conferences, Top Producer Seminar, Executive Women in Agriculture, Tomorrow's Top Producer, Farm Journal Legacy Project, and, for the first time, the Farm Journal Hemp Summit. Register today for Top Producer Summit at tpsummit.com.
Time now for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. I've got Dan Vaught, Pro Farmer Senior Economist, standing by. Dan-o, fire us up, baby. What's going on?
Hey, Davis. I'm looking at December coffee futures today. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, the coffee market has been in a bear market since 2011, with the market touching and failing at the long-term downtrend line in 2014, 2016, and again in July of this year. However, that seemingly changed this week, with the latest advance pushing the December price above that downtrend line. A look at the December chart shows it's been climbing steadily since dipping to a fresh 2019 low at 92.2 cents per pound last month. After having seemingly stalled Monday, it marched higher and closed at 109.90 today. The advance did push its 14-day RSI into slightly overbought territory, so a setback may be coming. Still, we may be seeing a real sea change in the coffee market.
All right. Thanks, Dan. That's Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get more of Dan's work on ProFarmer.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Truer words never spoken than when the handsome newsman is behind the microphone. Actually, no, I do okay. I feel like I do. You know, actually, come to think of it, that's usually when I get in trouble, is when I think that I'm doing okay. You know what we'll do? Let's stick with the script. On today's closes, December hard red futures 3.25 cents lower, 421.5. December soft red futures off 2.25, 510.25. December corn futures gained 2 cents to 377.25. March corn firmed 2.75 to 386.5. November bean futures 5.5 cents lower at 919.5. January beans also off 5.5 to 931 even. December cattle 25 cents higher, 119.25. November feeders firmed 22.5 to 147. And finally, February lean hogs added 12.5 cents to 73.90. I've got Dan Huber from the Huber Report. He's been good enough to join us today for the conversation on AgriTalk. Dan, welcome back to AgriTalk.
Very good. Thank you.
We came up against a hard break. We were talking about cynicism against USDA and if corrections really help anybody or if they just kind of make people think, huh, well, they must have got it wrong to begin with. But make it practical for us, Dan. I'm a row crop guy. The reports are out now for November 8. Is there any action that you feel like I need to be taking care of right now in wake of these reports? Anything to do here?
I don't believe so. You know,
I don't think so either.
Again,
yeah.
It's probably, yeah. I mean, we're probably going to look at, I firmly believe this. We'll see some more sizable readjustments come January. But that said, you know, unless you have to have some immediate cash flow needs, something between now and the first quarter, you know, certainly you maybe want to do a little something there. But I mean, even then, and if you back it up, you know, in some areas you've got some great basis levels, may not be giving you a lot of incentive to start. In a case like that, go ahead and take advantage of it. But, you know, I don't want to walk away from the overall long side of the market. So I think if you do sell because of cash flow needs, you probably want to step back in some way or another with call options or some other kind of a strategy to keep that upside open a bit.
All right. Very good. Thank you for that. You mentioned we were emailing back and forth ahead of the show. You mentioned mm-hmm. you're taking a trip next week. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure.
You're headed to... to a speaking engagement in Brazil? Have I got that right?
Sao Paulo.
Sao Paulo. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Should be very interesting. It's going to be a very quick trip. I leave on Monday evening and should be back home on Thursday morning. But it is called the Summit Agribusiness 29 Brazil. So it looks like I'm the only one on the agenda here that doesn't speak Portuguese. So I might be kind of an outlier there. But it should be great to understand or, you know, hear what's happening down there and kind of see what their attitude certainly is on what's happened with this trade war. And you know two ways about it. Brazil has been a major beneficiary of not just the soybean business, but let's not overlook what's happened in the livestock business and the disaster the ASF has created on the world meat markets and will for years to come. And boy, Brazil has been a major player in that. And, you know, I think in September, China approved 25 meat packing plants down there for produce, another 20 mm-hmm. in the last week, and not produce, but product,
oh, wow.
and another 20 last week. So, I mean, they, in many respects, boy, they have been a real beneficiary of what's the tense relations between the U.S. and China.
Yeah. Have you noticed, has China stepped in to make any sort of infrastructure improvements in South America, specifically Brazil, in light of fresh demand headed toward Brazil?
You know, from the numbers I've seen, not in the last year per se,
yeah,
you know, now they had prior to that, mm-hmm. you know, COFCO really sunk a lot of money into some of the northern ports in Brazil. As a whole, I mean, if you look at the last decade, for example, yes, I mean, China has really stepped up investment in Central South America. Brazil, I think, is actually the number two country. But, you know, the majority, the lion's share of those investments have actually gone into energy in those type of projects, so have not been as much related to agriculture, but you know two ways about it in the last year. And again, my thoughts, this is really a replay of 1973 when when Nixon embargoed soybeans, and then again, of course, mm-hmm. in 1980 when Carter embargoed wheat. It just gives just the U.S. that reputation of unreliability, that we can pull the plug on anybody at any time, and I think it moves us into a position of being residual suppliers. You know, we're the buyer of, or the supplier of last resort. So.
Okay. Is that, see, now, and of course, this is going to, all roads do lead back to China, it seems like, in conversation mm-hmm. about this stuff. Is that an irreversible designation at this point, that now we just got to wait in line behind Brazil, and then once their pipeline is empty, then we can pick up the scraps of demand?
Well, you know, economics are still going to play into it, you know, into its model, you know, and I think that was one of the debates this week when, we heard 2 weeks ago the discussion China is going to buy $40 to $50 billion of U.S. ag products.
Right.
Okay, they probably will, but, you know, number one, that isn't going to be soybeans alone. Number two, that's probably not going to be in a calendar year. That's probably going to be overspread over 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here again, China was really saying, we don't really want to specify what we have to buy. We don't want quantities because, you know, we want to let economics dictate where we go, which I guess is almost ironic that, you know, we're saying, you know, you need to give us a guarantee on what you're going to buy. And they're saying, well, no, we want the free market to tell us what we're going to buy. Mm-hmm. But that said, you know, I think they, you know, right now, really since 2011, the Brazilian real has been depressed against the U.S. dollar, which has, of course, made them all the more competitive in the world market. But if we see the dollar topple, and I think if you look out into 2020, there's a decent probability that finally could happen. And if it does, you know, that could change that whole economics picture where the U.S. becomes more competitive on the world stage, and hence, you know, we get a little more business shifting back over to us that way.
I've got a question here on Twitter. We're just going to jump the track really quick because my short-term memory is worthless. At Deering Tanner, when do the harvest delays from snow, the LP crunch, or whatever else 2019 may throw at us, can we expect that to start to weigh on the markets at all in the near term?
Well, I mean, as far as the harvest restarting or that... I think we had some initial reactions to, you know, the Dakotas especially, but even there, I mean, we'll see for next week. I mean, they made the week before last. I mean, they made some fairly substantial progress in soybeans. You know, we'll see if they do the same on corn here this week. But, you know, granted, it was earlier than normal. You know, unfortunately for those folks, I mean, that's probably not all that unusual that you get some delays by this time of year up there. So I guess I don't see it as a major market mover at this point in time.
Okay, very good. We got to talk China. I've heard from the Chinese side they're saying we're going to roll back existing tariffs. I've heard Washington say no, we're just going to put a pause on new tariffs. Both sides accusing the other of issuing propaganda statements, basically. On this. Meanwhile. We're still waiting to hear on a signing ceremony. I've got a theory, and maybe it's just completely stupid, but are both the U.S. and China just kind of interested in maintaining the status quo, not making any waves until we get through the holiday shopping season, and then maybe things turn a little ugly in January?
You know, it's hard to read either one. We've been having some conflicting stories and on and off type of stories. I think I tend to believe China probably is being a little more accommodative right now because they would like to see tariffs dropped as quick as possible because of the shopping season. Maybe it's too late, but at least they did stop the increase that was supposed to happen in October.
Yes.
You know, that said, I really kind of think they want to break the ice. But from what I can gather, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, I don't think China is all that interested in making a longer-term deal. You know, maybe this phase one is okay, particularly if they can get some tariffs dropped. Mm-hmm. I don't think they really are interested in a longer-term deal during the Trump administration.
Right.
Now, granted, they're rolling the odds that President Trump wouldn't get reelected, but I think, you know, they're thinking that, you know, well, I think we can outlast this guy, and if we can, you know, then maybe we'll have a little better negotiating terms.
Yeah, and just a little nugget important to point out along those lines of thought. President Xi Jinping from China has appointed himself president for life.
Sure.
He's got the time.
Oh, exactly. Well, you know, and actually let's see if I could find the comment. When I was doing a little research for my for this presentation next week, you know, right shortly after all of this trade war started up, an authority from China made this comment. After 5,000 years of trials and tribulations, what kind of battle have the Chinese not been through? And I think that is the Chinese mentality. Mm-hmm. We've seen this before. You know, we're thousands of years old. We'll weather this one as well. You know, where we tend to look a little more short-term, and they went a lot more short-term in relationship to them. It just becomes a situation that, sure, if we don't make it this year or next year, you know, we'll make things work, and, you know, we'll ultimately get what we need.
Okay. Well, we're going to come up to the end of our segment here fairly quickly. We've got about 30 seconds, but I would love for you to just to speak freely a little bit. What's on your mind? I'm going to give you the last word in this conversation. What would you say to our listeners, given the chance?
Well, you know, certainly it's been a rough year. You know, surprisingly enough, you know, because we have had the MFP payment, you know, we're probably not going to look at a disaster year by any stretch of the imagination. But I think, you know, this is the time to really kind of have we've had a great opportunity to kind of tighten our belts, look at our operations, you know, streamline where we needed to. And as I look out into 2020, I really see things looking up. And I think we've depressed these markets. We've depressed our export business enough. You know, granted, corn right now, it's hard to say much good about the export there, but I think we're probably reaching the bottom. And, you know, when things improve, all those boats start to lift as well.
Dan Huber from the Huber Report. Travel safe down to South America, would you, buddy?
Will do. I'm looking forward to get there and, of course, getting back.
All right. Thanks, Dan Huber. Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report on AgriTalk next.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
And then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. Dalaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. Dalaro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. Dalaro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Punchovotivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Punchovotivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Let the proven performance of Prosaro fungicide maximize your grain quality, yield, and profit this season. Wow, that went by fast. AgriTalk, AgriTalk, AgriTalk. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. The coffee that Dan was talking about at the bottom of the hour is catching up with me just a little. We got a lot to talk about in this final segment here. First off, thanks so much to Dan Huber at the Huber Report for being with us today. Such a level-headed guy and offers such a great perspective on all of this. Yes, he does feel like, and of course, it's obvious by the numbers, the U.S. has slipped out of its position, at least in regards to China, as the number one exporter. And that may not be likely to change, but he was also very wise in pointing out, basically China's going to continue to do things the way that they always have. The smart shopper looks for the best value, and with these tariffs on, it makes it tough for U.S. beans to be that best value. And then the other thought of the Chinese just wanting to wait out the Trump administration. And I don't know. It feels like we're kicking this meeting down the road. It's unfortunate that the Chile summit got canceled because of unrest in Santiago there. It would have been nice to have this all wrapped up. That would have been happening next week, actually, and deals off. So we'll have to wait and see when Presidents Trump and Xi can get together, or if they really even need to. I'm sure they've got some way of signing this together without having to be in the same room, although it certainly would bode well for future agreements if the two could get together and at least be seen on camera shaking hands. Give me that shot. Give me the smile shot, and I'll feel a whole lot better. Friday afternoon. Let's go ahead and roll that intro music for the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh, yeah.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is a service of Pro Farmers Inputs and Monitor. For weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district, visit profarmer.com. And now, Chip.
Guest host.
The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. Okay, we have been talking about propane all week. Propane, propane, propane. Everybody wants to know what's going on with propane. On this morning's AgriTalk, we were joined by Iowa farmer Tim Barak, who had some great thoughts, some great information, and I'm just going to roll tape on what he had to say this morning. Here we go.
In 2014 and 13, when this happened, we used to have another pipeline in northeast Iowa that brought LP gas in. That pipeline took care of 50% of all the surcharges. Spikes that used to take place. Now that's been directed to Canada to run dilutants.
Tim, you're talking about the coaching, correct?
I am talking about the coaching. So that was huge. Losing that was huge.
And that's what killed us in 14.
Yeah, and the governor's office now thinks that there's 126 million gallons demand with just the standing corn yet. So if we're only bringing in 4 million gallon a day, start doing the math, and you'll figure out how long this deal's going to take for us to work our way out.
Right.
And
right.
The other point I'd like to make is this. My doctor friends are telling me, and I had it confirmed this morning, that these delivery drivers are going into the doctor's office because of stress. Mm-hmm. And they're really getting worked over. And so my message to my farmers is that these delivery drivers, it isn't their fault. They can't help this. They're running, delivering, you know, they're told, put 100 gallon here, put 200 gallon here, save enough for emergency. And they're getting... My deluxe driver told me he got 100 calls yesterday on his phone. Mm. People wanting to know where gas is.
Yeah.
Farmers, they can't help it. None of us can help it. Mother Nature is part of this problem, but we got to give these guys a break.
Yeah.
And next week, I think we're going to be completely dead in the water. There's going to be so little gas because of livestock building in homes. And think about what's taking place. Look at all the large livestock buildings now that have been built in this state. And one of them can easily run 500 gallons a day, you know, if they got small pigs trying to beat this cold. We're in trouble. We're in a mess. The long-term solution is to build more storage capacity. Mm. And that's at whose expense when you only need it one every 5 years.
Right.
Yep.
And that's why nobody's doing it.
Yep. Yep.
Yep. So, Tim, we got about 30 seconds left here. What is your plan for the rest of the season, and how close to finish are you?
I'm 30% harvested, and it perfectly matches the 30% of supply that my supplier is getting. He's getting 30% of what he's supposed to get, and that's why I'm at 30% harvest. As long as I don't see a blizzard coming, I guess it's going to stand. You know, you can't do tillage. The ground is froze hard, and forecast next week says it's going to get harder. And think of the guys that need to put manure on you. Iowa's grinding to a standstill here, folks. This is a bigger deal than you first think about. It's not just the corn. It's all the peripherals that nothing can happen. It's a mess.
Iowa coming to a standstill on harvest. That's some scary stuff, and I've mentioned it before on previous shows, but hey, look, it's not the driver's fault. Give them a break. They're working overtime already. They've got hours of service waivers. What's that mean? They can be behind the wheel for longer periods of time. So go easy on the drivers. They can't help you. They're doing everything that they can to help you, and we're just going to have to wait for the supply situation to work itself out. Could be a while, though. Fertilizer's lower, if that helps anyone feel better. Anhydrous ammonia off 820 regionally to 493.24. I feel like that's significant. We dropped below 500 bucks regionally on anhydrous. Phosphate's lower. DAP off $3. MAP down about 3.5. Potash down 268. UAN 28% fell $7.70 by the short ton regionally. 32% is off about $5. Urea about the same. Ruby Red Farm Diesel unchanged. We're beginning to hear some rumblings about diesel shortages. That came out of North Dakota. Just be watching for that. That'd be the next thing. This week so far, and this was as of Friday, my propane price only jumped 2 cents. That's if you can even get it. I'm sure that we're going to see a price response next week. Hang in there, everybody. Thanks to Tim Barack, who just offered his comments. You also heard Chip and John Harith in there. Thanks to Dan Huber. Thanks to producer Joe. I'm your pal, Davis Michelson at AgriTalk. Thanks for tuning in today, and have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday, America.
The mighty Prosaro, king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it the keeper of grain quality and yield, the hammer of head and leaf diseases, the number one reducer of scab. When your goal is greater wheat quantity and higher yield, use Prosaro fungicide, and the crown of higher profit will be yours. Learn more at prosaro.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio today. That's profarmer.com/radio.
Thanks to Syngenta for sponsoring this AgriTalk podcast. For more news on Syngenta and the trends driving the industry, head to syngentathrive.com.